Healing crystals, skincare routines, knitting a sweater, fitting in jeans. With Katie and Sarah, no need to worry, you're on a lady journey.
I was listening the other day and I was like, oh my God, because you know, there's got to be other lady journeys from different time periods.
I love it. I think it's such a fun idea.
Like, remember, like Kellogg's cereal was a spa.
Yes.
Yes. And they were into like giving women orgasms to like
help
de-stress
them with their... That's how vibrators were invented, actually.
Yeah.
I read it was like in the 50s, you would go to your doctor and you'd be like all pent up from like vacuuming with your birthday present.
And your husband maybe hitting you.
Yeah. And then the doctor would just like masturbate you and they would just be like, well, that was my procedure. Time to make dinner. And so, but then the doctor's hands like got tired.
Of course. So all day masturbating women.
Yeah. So they would invent these like hand crank. And then
that's how
the vibrator was invented.
To de-stress us. I just love like, that, like, where did men know that their wives were going to doctors that were masturbating them?
I don't think they cared. You're just like, Dr. Stevenson is working miracles.
He's like, whatever you're doing, doctor, thank you.
She's not screaming anymore. Yeah. And then it was time to pop a pain pill.
Yes. Oh my God.
So welcome to Lady Journey, everybody.
Welcome to Lady Journey. We thought it would be fun to like discuss maybe what we thought would be like lady journeys in different time periods.
Yes, a little bit of a nostalgia journey. And actually, before we get started, I do want to do a quick stone dedication to a new Patreon member that we had join. Nina, welcome.
Thank you, Nina.
Thank you so much for joining the Patreon, Nina. And if you would like to join the Patreon, anybody else who's listening, please just do that.
And yeah, and you get a stone dedication.
Just like this. Now, this is a stone that we haven't seen for a while, but one of my favorite stones, the kyanite. Nina, this is for you. Now, kyanite is such a magical stone because when you touch it, it instantly aligns your chakras.
Oh, I had no idea. That?
Yeah. Give it a touch. Whoa. Did you feel it?
Straightened up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this is for you, Nina, wishing you alignment that comes easily from something that you didn't expect, just like touching a rock. And thank you so much for joining your Patreon.
Yeah,
thank you to all our Patreon people. Yes, we need you.
We do.
There's so much nostalgia that's going around in the TikTok world right now. Like I'm really into it because I love these different aesthetics. Like one aesthetic I've noticed is the Frutiger Aqua. Have you
seen
this one going around? This is the one that I always remember this from. It was on all soap bottles, like these little hand soap bottles from the 2000s, and there would be like a little picture of a clownfish and like a blue background.
Yes.
That's the Frutiger Aqua aesthetic. So it's all over TikTok right now, and there's a similar aesthetic called Frutiger Arrow, which is just that kind of futuristic landscape with like an air bubble floating through.
Okay, that's so interesting. These are like aesthetics that you just never pay attention to until 20 years go by and then the whole generation is like wearing it and you're like, I had no idea that that was an aesthetic.
I didn't even know that was a thing.
Well, that's like, I always was under the assumption of like, what is 2000 style? And I never really thought there was anything to pinpoint it, but I've been watching all these YouTube video logs and there's so much from that era that I was like, that is definitely definitive from that era. Because it always seems like, especially in fashion, you're like, okay, those are flare jeans that was in the 70s.
Yes.
So it's getting regurgitated. So what's like new? And then you see like, I don't know, like I guess indie sleeves. It was talking about the proportion of being big on top, small on bottom. Mm. So the skinny jeans with oversized t-shirts and big bags and a big leather jacket.
I love it. I love all of that. One that I'm really into is Utopian Scholastic. This is the one of like a lot of like high school textbooks or kids books from the 90s where it would be kind of like different pieces of objects thrown together, like the I Spy books. Did you ever do those growing up? Like
that's
a great example of Utopian Scholastic. Or you think of those like ancient Egypt books that you would get. It's like a white cover and then a collage of like tons of ancient Egyptian stuff on there.
Okay.
And when I see it, I feel like, oh my God, I'm taken back to a time when the world was open to me.
Yeah.
It's amazing. Like I Spy books, or not I Spy, I'm talking about the Magic Eye, those type of books.
Oh yeah. I sometimes I like nostalgia, but sometimes it will make me go so sad.
It's true.
Because
it's
I pen. Realize it's a place I will never get to ever again.
You can't go back there.
I will never know what it's like to be in the mall to see a magic eye.
Yes. Yeah.
And being all that was, I didn't have any obligations that day.
Oh my God, like, getting a pretzel and not feeling sick from it.
Well, like my whole journey in life, I feel like all I'm ever trying to do is to get back to where my childhood was.
Yes.
Meaning like I want to live on a house on a lake with a pool, have a kid that goes golf ball hunting.
And you have not a care in the world.
Not a care in the world.
And you're just going to the store, picking out the new popsicles right? that are in.
Yes. I want to do all that or get back to that where I was.
I love it. I love it. And well, one nostalgia that's really popular right now, especially on TikTok, even with people who never lived through the 80s, is the 80s. And they're saying it's because of the fact that it was a modern era, but we didn't have social media. So it's like kind of this...
It's the last modern era without social media.
Yes. It's like you're on the cusp of like, there are still these kind of antiquated architects like the private eye, you know, or like the housewife.
Yes.
Before we are now into what feels like a dystopian world of like trad wives.
Oh, it's horrific. It's weird. And it's also weird that I think we're in the same generation. I kind of feel like I teeter on the Gen X a little bit.
You're in like the tiny generation.
I'm in the Zennial.
Yes.
Where we're one of the few, and you're probably the same way as like, we didn't have internet growing up.
Yeah.
We didn't have cell phones or smartphones. So we know both worlds.
Yes.
Yes.
And we're like a dying breed of people. I saw this Nate Bargatze joke that he was like, I'm from the 1900s. Like, it is a crazy thing to say, to be like, I am from a completely different era.
Yes.
Where I do remember getting a computer when I was
and
in
it was
my
house computer.
The house computer. And
your dad would like brief you on it.
Yes. Yeah, it's like no magnets by the computer. You're like, but why? The era of Oregon Trail being like cutting edge technology.
Right. And then I remember getting, my dad was a tech guy, weirdly, would never think of him being that way, but like getting AOL.
Yes.
And him talking about it. And what was the first thing I immediately did is I went into chat rooms and I told off-color jokes. I think I told a pedophile joke in there once. I remember, and then I got shamed.
Oh my gosh.
Being
good.
Like, that's not funny. And I was like, what?
Sorry. Wow. That's such a better thing to happen than what I was thinking was like, then a pedophile is drawn to you. Yeah. Like, where do you live?
It was such a blind world. Because now I know like what I'm doing, what that era kind of, I don't want to, not era, but like, how you're in there. Do you know like computers?
You're groping in the darkness.
That's what it felt like.
And it was a culture of that. Yeah.
It felt like I was groping in the darkness. Exactly. Yes. You're like, I don't even know how I'm here, but there's people talking.
Yes.
And I thought we were all like-minded. There was a naivety behind
absolutely.
It. So there was a lot of firsts in there that I remember one time thinking I met a boy and then I called and then I could hear everybody laughing in the background. And then you were like, kind of catfish.
Wow. Yeah. It's like that.
And then being like, I'm an idiot. What would they think of connecting with a stranger online?
I know. And it's like,
I must have been lonely.
That stuff doesn't even happen anymore. Cause it's like, we're now through that era where everyone knows, except for unless you're like a baby boomer and you're like, this is my boyfriend, Javier. And you're like, no, that is a stock image.
I just gave him $20,000. Yeah. You're like, that's some lady in Nigeria.
Yeah. Yeah. I know it was an era of like To Catch a Predator.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, that was a specific time in America where, you know, you would just be like pranking a pedophile. Yeah.
No, it was definitely a wild time. But yeah, there's a late. And now there's, remember GeoCities, the first place to do your websites? People even recreate that as an aesthetic. And also when it's really fun to go look at like the Facebook interface for when it first started to what it looks like now.
Yes, it's so upsetting to see this, but I get like notifications on Facebook. It's like, you joined Facebook on this day in 2005. I'm like, no.
And that was another one. Joining Facebook for me is like, I guess I'll sign up. And then that was a groping in the dark situation totally. For me as well.
You were like, did he look at my profile? A cut to now they're running the entire universe.
Right. Yeah.
Like they own the solar system.
Yeah. I had no idea that was going to, I remember getting a message. I was like, why is there a red thing right here?
Yeah.
And then getting it and it was JFL trying to get in contact with me and you're like,
whoa.
Meaning I felt like that's where I felt behind. You were like, oh, clearly this is a form of communication that I had no idea.
Yes. I remember the first time I got a text and it and like months later I found it on my phone and I was like, what even was this? It was on my flip phone that had a camera in the front. So I was like, I remember when I got my fancy new phone, I was like posing with it in the mirror, looking high tech. When I'm like trying on my outfits, which was like my big hobby when I was in college.
Oh my God.
But
the idea of being like, what is this? And you're like, wait, what are you up to? You're like,
who are you? Yeah. When technology happening before you even understand
it. Well, nobody briefed me. You're just thrown into it.
Yeah.
All of it. And now I feel like I know it forward and backwards a little bit.
I do. And I feel like also, which is one thing that is I'm grateful for, because I go to my grandmother's house and she's like, I've been printing my emails to file them. And I'm like, we don't do that.
But my dad would print every email out and file them. And I'd be like, Dad, you don't need to do this. And then it creates like a fear in them.
Yes.
If you're like, my files. I'm like, you could just Google this.
My Mimi was printing and filing an email she got from her friend under F for friends. I'm like, the filing system doesn't even hold weight here. But like, I feel like better now because at least I understand how technology evolves. And so if you can, you know, maintain that understanding of, I got a new phone, let me play around with it until I figure things out, then that is a learning skill that other people don't have from other generations.
Yeah.
But I fantasize about the 80s constantly, I feel like.
It's my favorite generation, and this is where time period, and this is where Joe and I differentiate, because I have friends, and they're around the same age as him, too. I'm a little older, but just by 4 years, but for some reason, it feels like that's where the generational gap starts happening.
Yes, because it's a high school era.
It is.
Yeah.
Because I listened to 80s. MTV came around right when I started making like memories. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And it felt like we met at the same time. So it was my life.
Oh my gosh.
And so the music from that era, I love. I still can't leave it. I even still try to find new genres from that era. And then I end up like discovering that I'm like, oh, I like this now. And that, you know, like I'm listening, you know, yacht rock or something.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Oh, I used to be into like Bauhaus, but now I'm into Huey Lewis and the News. Like,
yes.
It creates, it's just I think it's one of the most fun times besides the AIDS epidemic. That was horrific.
Yeah.
But for some reason, it felt like a lot of people were doing really well at least doing middle class well, was doing well financially.
Yeah, and like feminism was on like feminism was like on a new wave, the second wave of feminism, where it was like for the first time, like you can have a job, you can have your access to your own money.
Yes.
Like credit cards weren't legal for, I think I read this a long time ago, so I'm not sure if I'm 100% accurate, but I think it was 1974 was when you could first get birth control. Oh, maybe it was 72, and then 74, that was the first year that women were able to have their own credit cards.
Yeah.
Like how crazy. So then it was like by the 80s.
Rent an apartment by yourself too to get on a lease without having a man co-sign for you.
Yeah. Like the 80s, it was like normalized. And that's why we see one of my favorite 80s tropes is like the power suit woman.
And the shoulder pads.
Oh my God. It was just like women showing their power through their shoulders.
I never understood that because I feel like I have a tiny head. So it was never something that suited me. And then of course, you know, I'm in elementary school. I had no business being in
shoulder pads.
But I remember my friend's mom, that was her look.
Yeah.
And you could always see the shoulder pads peeping through the white t-shirt.
It's hilarious.
And I just remember being like, I just was like, I don't understand this as a look. The yeah. other one that was big is like, I also had friends' mom that would pluck the shit out of their eyebrows.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. The era of the thin eyebrow was the 80s and the 90s, even 2000s, I would say. Like the thin eyebrow yeah. reigned for a long
time. It was when the bushy eyebrow came back about maybe 10 years ago
yeah.
with whatever the model, Cara Delevingne, because Brooke Shields rocked him in the 70s and early 80s. And then we got,
yeah,
it went to thin again. But yeah, it was just like, yeah, shoulder pads was such an interesting, it was like, I'm a powerful woman, but I have,
I'm showing it through my huge shoulders.
Like, what a weird, to being like, I don't want them to know I'm weak.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They'll never know I'm a woman. Well, they have a lot of, I did a, one of my wedding videos I did on 80s wedding dresses.
Okay.
And they, I love the wedding trends of the 80s too, where it was like, this is where we see, and there's been like a little bit of a renaissance with this of like the like
puffy.
the side puff. It's like off the shoulder puff. But like in the 80s, it was like the bigger the puff, the more successful yes. the marriage will be. It was just gigantic shoulders.
You, that was how you establish you are the alpha
yes.
in the room. Like
I am the dominant one.
Dallas, the ladies like Jackie Collins would always yes. have like the big poofy shoulders that way.
I love the enormous gigantic 80s wedding dress, and then the other 80s wedding aesthetic that I love is like a gigantic hat.
Yes.
Like no veil. I just have the hugest wide brim hat.
It was like we also had big hair back then.
Yes.
That it maybe I wonder if that's also like we also are taking up space.
Yes, exactly. I think it is. My God, what a brilliant insight.
Yeah. And like our hair. So we are here to take up space.
We're here to stay.
Well, that's what I was. I remember watching a documentary about Riot Girls. And, mm-hmm. and that was like the 90s, the Bikini Kill. And they would wear those baby doll dresses that like Courtney Love. And that was the reason why they were wearing that was a way to take back their childhood that they lost because of like sexual trauma.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, or that I was like, never moved past.
I just wore it.
Yeah. I had no idea.
I'm a baby still. It's like, what?
I had no idea that had that background information on it.
Yeah.
Like the baby doll clips and all that. So that is like the fascinating thing about fashion. Sometimes the way that it gets started is a way to like, it's like a fighting back situation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, there was so much going on undercurrents in the 80s too. I think like, of course there's the AIDS epidemic that, you know, if you're a person just living a hetero life in the 80s, you kind of don't know about it or you're not like really connected to it in any way. But
yeah. And then they had the Reaganomics of like, it was supposed to be the trickle down. So I yeah. think that one also, that was also like a lot of rich people just getting rich.
Yeah. They had the, well, one thing I was reading about feminism in the 80s was like, apparently they were trying to, in the early 80s, legislate, this is hilarious to me too, like legislate sexual harassment codes in the workplace, but there was like an insane backlash against it, which it's like, so wait, what? It's like, women shouldn't be not groped.
It's my, that's the, so fascinating, like, you've seen that photo of the first woman running the Boston Marathon, right? And
yeah.
then there's men by running by her yelling slurs at her.
Yes.
And you're like, yeah. who's, you, that's got to be somebody's granddad. You're like, granddad, you must be so proud of yourself. I have to go down there and yell at this woman and make sure she doesn't yeah. run in the Boston Marathon. Like,
yeah, my grandpa was standing up for what's right.
To the idea of like, it's so funny to think of people being so on the wrong side of history. Like for
yeah.
us, it's just like, that seems crazy, but men must've been losing their shit when we were like,
yeah.
I think I want my own credit card.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm just going to have my own job now. And
you
I'm going to wear
handle a credit card.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. You can't handle my shoulder pads. I love the power suit. I love the whole aesthetic of the 80s businesswoman. Like, despite the fact that we know there's like, I'm sure an undercurrent of her being like groped by her boss and these stories behind the scenes of you being like, you know, relentlessly sexually harassed in your workplace. But like to go into your work on Wall Street as a woman with like your face rouged to all hell.
Yeah.
Your giant shoulder pads, the suit, like aesthetically, it is so powerful to me. And it's like,
yeah.
like such an iconic look that I think like shot women like across, even until now, we're still kind of going back to that.
Yeah. But then it's always weird. We talked about the trad wives thing is like, being upped. Like, it always feels like once you have like a forward moving, there's all of a sudden a back pendulum happening at the same time of in another culture.
It's so true.
Culture wars, I guess, is what we're calling it.
And there's that in the 80s too of like women, I'm sure, also being, I think like that was more the 70s where women were like, I'm anti-feminist. Like we should be like, you know, cooking and baking, which also love, but we can do both. But then to the 80s, it was more normalized, but surely there was still other people like, you know, blue eyeshadow is the devil's.
Yeah. I also feel like, so you probably could categorize my mom as like a feminist, but at the same time, there's undertones of misogyny in her feminism of like, you know, like wearing makeup is what whores wear kind of thing. And you're like, well, also it's like artistry and kind of fun.
It's kind
and
of fun.
So like that kind of, I feel like there was mixed messages in some of the feminism that I was getting.
Yes,
like, look at 100%. Her put her makeup on in the car, you know, dumb bitch. And then you're like, I don't know, maybe she's busy.
Yeah, she's just going to work.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that that's really interesting where we look at like antiquated feminism where it's like, oh, women should be able to wear pants, but not make their own healthcare decisions, you
right,
know?
Yeah. Well, I remember, and also like looking down upon being like a cheerleader. And at the time I remember being like, but they're doing like gymnastics and it's like an athleticism to it that's really impressive that just because they are cheering for men, they're like, it has its own sport. And I still believe this is wild that they still don't get paid on the
cheerleading thing.
The NFL's
nuts.
Yeah.
You are as athletic as the football person.
Right.
Player, whatever
and
they're called.
Working, you're still working quite a bit.
Oh my gosh, it's brutal. And gymnastics, I mean, talk about gymnastics, like talk about a job with an expiration date on it. It's like
you're
25,
13,
you're blowing your knee out.
Yeah.
You're getting the twisties at 30, you're done. No, one thing I read about the 80s, which I think is really cool, is that this was the first, it was such a consumer decade. Like this was the year, I knew this from a long time ago, but when they first started doing gendered toys, like gender became such a thing in the 80s of like boys have blue toys and girls have pink, but it was just so they could sell like twice the amount of toys. But it was also the first decade where they started selling luxury skincare and like anti-aging products.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. Well, because I guess now you have a new form of money.
You have a new form of money. You
or
have
meaning like more people are getting rich.
Yeah, there's like a burgeoning middle class. And but I just love the whole makeup aesthetic of the 80s of the bright eyeshadow.
What's also, I love to hear about the bullshittery of the what's how it's being sold to you. Like, you know, like it individually wraps each particle around and exfoliates. And you're like, well, that's not
it's
scientifically
soap.
True. That's not what it's doing.
It's not what it's doing. But it's like, I think that that was maybe one reason like women are taking up space, but also, you know, we're painting our faces with these wild colors.
Yeah.
It's more expensive and it's just another way to sell more stuff.
Well, do you remember skincare around that era of like, do you remember Seabreeze, which it would basically just be like the harshest astringent you could ever put on your face?
Yes.
And I was under the mindset, if it doesn't burn, it's not working.
Yeah, it's like burning off the pimples. Yes.
Or like putting Clarasil and all it would do is like dry out all of the skin around your zit so you would have flakes
crust
around your big red pussy pimple.
Oh my God. Yes, it was the worst.
So it, just like it never, it's, I think skincare does get better, but it's actually disheartening to find out that that's when it was happening. And you feel like it's to better ourselves, but it was really just another way to make more money.
Yeah.
But that's why I've always believed, and it's really hard for me to say this, or not hard, it's not really hard for me to say this, but like, I have always been like, I think you don't only need like maybe three products.
I agree with that. I think that less is more, especially when it comes to skincare. And I was surprised because I was looking around at the 80s aesthetic for like clean girl aesthetic. Is there, what was the clean girl aesthetic in the 80s? And it was just like
preppy maybe?
It was kind of preppy, but really it was more just like a prude. Like school marm.
Yeah. Oh yeah. That was kind of a look too of kind of like a Little House on the Prairie.
Yeah, or like kind of like an intellectual aesthetic. But I think even those people were still like going out partying. Like you're not going out partying without your blue eyeshadow. You're not doing coke with the cling girl aesthetic in the 80s.
Yeah, nobody, I don't recall like not having people not wearing minimum makeup.
Yeah. And it also feels like, especially like the iconic women of the 80s, which I think is one of the first decades where we see
it's supermodels.
These, yeah, like the supermodels, or like the like Madonna, Whitney Houston,
yeah,
like
Cyndi Lauper,
even like Stevie Nicks, who's a different aesthetic than that big bold party girl. Like yeah. Stevie Nicks was more like witchy, kind of like the drapey fabrics, but it was still like maximalist.
Yes, it was. And hers was ultra feminine too.
Yeah. A lot of wraps.
A lot of scarves on the mic stand.
But thin though. Thin, I think, yeah, was like the dominant aesthetic for women in the 80s, which I find interesting because it was like one of the first decades of working out, you know, like buns of steel and yes, that.
But then I felt like when it was J-Lo brought the ass back, she shifted it to the healthier girl.
The curvy style of the 2000s.
But then it got to where you're like... We're like, oh, great. We got back to a body that's attainable to like another side of the spectrum. Yeah. Where you're like, well, I can't have big
now
tits
I have to have
and
a
ass.
BBL.
Yeah. Yeah. You're like, that's also an unattainable body to
yes
have. Yeah.
Yeah. I know. It's like, how can I get my ass huge?
I want to look like a wasp.
I know. But if you look at the workouts, some guy was telling me this. Well, it was a comic. And I did think that this was a weird conversation to be having. But he was like, white women have big butts now, and they used to always have flat butts, and I think it's the workouts, because like the workouts of the 80s, it was like Richard Simmons, like sweating to the oldies.
Buns of Steel was an Abs of Steel,
yeah,
were the two major workout tapes that yes everyone I knew had.
I was doing Buns of Steel during the pandemic and I loved it. It was so much fun.
Well, I've always wanted to go back to like old school workout. Like I want to get a machine that straps a belt around me and shakes my butt.
Like, yes,
I want to find old timey, like, remember step workouts?
Oh my gosh.
Every mom in the suburbs had a little step workout routine with
I love it
leg weights.
Yes, and you're just stepping up and stepping down to music. That's hilarious. I actually took a step class one time. And
I've done it a few times, and I remember being like, this isn't burning anything.
You're literally just stepping up, and then like the advanced move is like you turn around and then you step up again.
Nothing was being burned. And then also I remember trying, a lot of friends' mom's side job was aerobicizing.
Yes, the aerobics. Like that's an aesthetic. That's such an aesthetic of
the
80s.
It is, and I don't even think that, I don't remember being like, it's too out of shape for that class. Like it was very basic. Like
aerobics is like you're just kind of going side to side with a 2 pound weight.
It's like it's dancing like a white woman for an hour, where you're lightly tapping your hip.
Yeah, yeah. And they're like, if you don't have 2 pound weights at home, you could use a water bottle. You're like, okay, so now I'm just, there's no resistance whatsoever. It's just flattening you out. You're just getting flatter and thinner. Yeah. And it's very low impact, though. I will say that it's good for low impact.
That is true.
But I love the fitness aesthetic of 80s, of like the spandex, the off the shoulder t-shirt, the headband, and the big
wearing
hair,
like tights under your leotard.
Oh my
and then
gosh
a lot of people, this would be risque, but like a leotard that had a thong, but then you wore tights underneath it.
Yes.
Or like a leotard that you also wore like a bandeau top.
Oh,
underneath,
so cute
suspenders.
Yeah.
The, like, why don't I want to go back to that workout gear?
Yes,
at
the leg
gym
warmers. The leg warmers. Oh my God, I love it.
I feel like if you went to the gym dressed like that now, because now I call the workout aesthetic lately that at the gym, especially fit models, they dress like Selena. Like it's like one big outfit, like unitard, and then there's ruching in the butt crack.
Yeah, yeah.
And then like crisscross straps. It's everything to accentuate the waist and the butt.
I know, you're like, how is that even supporting you, like as a workout outfit? It's not a sports bra.
But they're walking around the gym as if
just drinking water. Yeah.
Yeah. Lightly dabbing sweat off.
The workout looks today are so, it's such like influenced by the TikTok shop. I also don't like the matching set.
Yeah.
Where it's like,
it's so expensive to keep up with that.
Yeah. And then it's like, how often are you doing your laundry that like you just have the perfect set? I mean, I guess it's for people that have a washing machine in there. Mine's just like a mismatch yeah. of
I've
like,
had
got an old t-shirt, yeah. got some sweatpants.
I look like Adam Sandler when I'm working out. I'm wearing like a lot of times just like oversized soccer shorts and a t-shirt.
Yeah.
But then I've had in my mindset being like, you know what? I think I want to be the girl that has a workout set. But you're right. Like, I'll get it. And then I wear it 5 days in a row. And then yeah. it starts to look like shit really fast. And also, yeah. I bought it at Old Navy rather than Aloe, whatever that high end. Yeah, all those high
Lululemon. Yeah, where you just spent $400 on your sweatpants.
I'm not spending $400 on sweatpants.
And they're not worth it. No. You would think like, oh, the quality is better. It's really not.
No.
Then they use slave labor like everybody else. Like
yeah, so you might as well just get the cheap
just
one.
Just get them from Old Navy. They're on the same. Now, one aesthetic that I love of 80s girls also is like the counterculture, which I feel like it's still, there's such a broad, the broad umbrella of the 80s aesthetic. It's like, it's still big hair. It's still loud. It's still flashy. But this time it's more like dark tones.
Yeah. You got your, are you talking about like your Susie and the Banshees?
Yeah. Like yeah, the punk world.
Tyrer with his hair.
Yeah.
Yes. I've always thought that I love that look, but you cannot age with that look.
No, you have to age out of it at a certain point. Or you're like Marilyn Manson, like
yeah. Somebody had put a poster or an image of him now, and he's quite a bit overweight and old in the face.
That was an AI. That was it a really? Fake. That was a fake image. Oh,
I really wanted it to be true.
Oh, I
but
know.
But it was like
I saw
beautiful
that like,
pizza. The beautiful pizza. I was like, that's so good.
He's probably not aging well, though. I can't imagine that he's taking great care of himself. He's like doing yoga. Like, please. He has a fake eye cover.
Yes.
I'm trying to think of some other 80s aesthetics of like in terms of like women that I love.
I actually think Almond Mom has come out of the 80s.
Yes. Yeah.
A lot of my friends' moms were always on diets. And I also think that carried over to a lot of my friends actually having eating disorders later.
Yes.
It's always been instilled in their mom. And it's not even like sometimes they mean to. It's like the constant doing fit checks in front of the mirror.
Counting the calories.
Being like, I'm such a big fucking pig.
Yeah.
Where now I think we're more conscious of not saying stuff like that in front of our kids.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to... Dick, I've talked about this with Joe. Like, we always say, oh my God, I'm going to kill myself.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And we're like,
course.
We're going to have to probably curb that kind of.
I'm going to end my own life in Oregon where it's legal, but only if I'm suffering from an illness for a long time. Yes.
But for every, and then the amount of like shit talking that we can do, I'm like, we can't do that in front of.
Yeah, it does feel
kid.
Like thinness is such a 80s thing that like the trauma carried over for generations of generations.
Well, I remember when I temped at that high end baby clothes store on the Upper East Side.
Oh, of course.
I saw so many women in that area that I clearly diagnosed with eating disorders.
Oh, yeah.
Like so thin that I actually felt like that was considered a status symbol still going over there.
I think it is because it's like you have to have a lot of time to be, you know, prepping your almond meal.
Yeah. And all the...
The orthorexic. That's,
yes.
That is a one for the wealthy.
Yeah. The fasting.
I only eat flowers.
Yes. I can't have that because that's bad for you and that has carcinogens. And
yes.
Yeah.
I saw something that was about America kind of commercializing fitness and lifestyle, whereas in Europe, these things are like just part of everyday life. So it's like you're getting up, you walk to the grocery store, you buy your stuff, you carry it back, or you walk to work, or you walk to the train. So it's like fitness is, you know, that stuff is built into your daily life. So they don't have a lot of gyms in like Italy or France because people just aren't.
They're walking everywhere.
Yeah. It's like here you like get, you roll out of bed, you fall to your car.
Oh my God. I
would
joke
drive.
In Houston. I'd be like, remember when you would eat a huge meal at a restaurant and then get in your car and drive 10 minutes back to your apartment while you smoke a cigarette in your car?
Yeah. Yeah. You're like, I always smoke after a big meal. It helps me digest it. It's like, drink some tea.
I know. But that was my go-to, like always. Yeah. When in the suburbs, it's that you go eat a big shitty meal and then drive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then feeling awful. Actually, when I was in Texas this weekend, I did indulge in some gigantic Detroit style brick oven pizza, okay, the big squares. Oh my gosh, it was so delicious. I couldn't stop. I was just eating it over the course of a day. Yeah, like, cold, like,
that's
pizza.
My whole meal for the week.
I felt so sick by the end of it. It was just destroying. Yeah. Like the oil, the tomato sauce too. It was like, had like a meat sauce on it.
This sounds so stupid to be like, if I eat pizza late at night, I can't go to sleep.
Yeah,
like,
no, but it's I have true, that,
like,
though.
I can't eat pizza after like a certain time, or I'm up all night thirsty.
Well, I of course Googled it, and it is a phenomenon. It's like pizza phenomenon, that it just destroys your stomach of eating that much bread in one sitting.
No, it's insane. And then it's also funny, like, if you've ever hung out with like people that don't eat well all the time, and then they're like, I'm so depressed, and you're like,
yeah,
like,
yeah. You have to eat veggies.
Yeah. Yeah. Have you tried walking and not eating pizza for every meal?
I know. I see people eat casually. Like, I love, like, oh, nachos is my favorite.
I consider it healthy.
A health food. Well, it does have chilies.
My protein is in there with my black beans, and I get a jalapeno in there, and there's tomato and sometimes lettuce.
No, those are not my nachos. I'm like chili con queso, sour cream.
Okay.
More ground beef on top of it. But I love nachos. But it's like, as I grow older, when I eat stuff like that, or like fish and chips, like that kind of thing.
Yeah. No substance.
I only eat until I start feeling sick. Then I stop. That's how I keep myself.
And then I go again tomorrow morning.
Did you see that thing of Bethany Frankel?
Didn't she say she only eats to taste?
She only eats to taste, and she doesn't ever eat until she's full. And it's like, Bethany, that's, you can just eat and just eat.
Well, it's like Kelly Ripa's What I Eat in a Day. They had to pull it from Vogue.com or something like that.
One almond. Her dessert was one chocolate covered almond.
Well, that's the thing. You always like, I was like that. You know, I like the other day I see Miley Cyrus at the Grammys. I'm like, God, her body is amazing. So I had to look up what her routine is, and it's like veganism, and then she does like 2 hours of these kind of like Pilates or slash yoga, and you're like, oh, I don't want to do that.
Yeah, it's a lot of time and energy, but she does look amazing.
I'm like, I want that. But then, you know, there's other times I'm like, oh, I think I would be happy in that department. And then I saw a photo of myself this last week, and I was like, I've got to make changes.
Yeah. Well, it could have been a bad photo.
Could be bad jeans, too. I think I had bad jeans.
Could have been bad jeans. The kind you wear.
But when you find out what some of these celebs are doing, you're like, it is not attainable by the everyday person.
Oh my God, no.
With a budget problem. No. Yeah.
And plus they have a trainer, they have a private chef.
Yeah.
But I think a lot of thin culture really does go back to the 80s. I don't think we see it as much in the 70s. I think because there was a lot more women that were in like homemaking roles.
Also, plastic surgery was not prevalent until the 80s, I think.
People were doing
facelifts then.
People were doing kind of like,
but lipo?
Experimental plastic surgery, or like the classics. Yeah, like facelift. But even then, it was like, you can't do too much plastic surgery because you're going to be Joan Rivers. You know, it's like they didn't have the technology.
I felt like Joan Rivers eventually, it looked good on her.
By the end, she was fine. She wore it well.
It caught up.
Yeah.
But in the beginning, technology, it was a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, of course, we're all seeing this phenomenon on TikTok now, a trend that's of the expose of women make less money in the workplace based on their physical appearance, like their weight.
I've seen that, and I believe it.
Yeah. Like, I think that goes back to the 80s, where it's like, we see the trend of like super thin women. We see women working more.
Well, it's that fat phobia thing that I think a lot of people put on as like, if you're fat, you're a slob and you're lazy.
Yes.
And that's not true.
Yeah. Yeah. It's the core of fat phobia.
Yeah.
But like I was, and then also, like I was saying, you know, with the commercialization of like, well, now you can go to the gym. Now you can do this diet. And it's all like just capitalism. There's something about the capitalism of the 80s.
And skinniness. I think they go hand in hand.
Yeah.
Because you have to spend money to get skinny.
Yeah, you have to have your gym membership. You have to have your like your Noom,
your protein powders.
Yeah, your diet stuff. So
your cold plunges.
That's, I think, like the dark side of the 80s a little bit in terms of like a lady journey of like what women had to go through.
I think a lady journey now, or that doesn't happen now as much, is tanning beds.
Oh my gosh, that's such an 80s lady journey. Yes, and having one in your home.
To be like, Katie, I think I'm going to start tanning.
My God. I'm getting a tanning bed for my house.
Well, I was watching the Oscars yesterday and I was so blown away how orange everybody looked.
Yeah.
And I know it's spray tan and my friends have said this, I'd rather be orange than pasty white.
Interesting.
And I do agree with that sentiment.
Yeah. I mean, I actually tan, like when I go to Aruba in the winter, that's always when I get like my little tan, and I tan pretty well. But the more I do it, I notice it destroys your skin. Like,
yeah. And I don't want to get salami chest.
Yes.
Because I think most people forget, like a lot of
salami chest.
It just looks like salami texture. And I think a lot of like older women, when they start playing tennis, aren't protective of that area, because every time I go to the US Open, I'm like, there's a lot of salami chest happening out here.
I feel like I'm gonna have that. I think always it's inevitable. Get burned on my chest. Yeah,
it's the thinnest layer of skin and it's always kind of forgotten about and it's just like exposed. But like, this is something I've been thinking about lately. I'm like, I think I might start doing spray tanning.
Oh my gosh. I'm all for it.
I'm going to try it.
Just try it out. Go light.
But you're like, every
just
time,
a few degrees.
You
tanner.
Do. It's so nerve wracking to go on these routes because I'm so nervous the time that I do it and I show up, everyone's like,
hey, Donald Trump.
Yeah. Yeah. Or like staining everything on people's furniture and stuff like that. Like, it's embarrassing.
Oh, it's great. It just comes off.
Yeah.
Or I have a joke now about like the your tanner coming off and you just look like a giraffe, like a messed up giraffe, like just spots.
Oh my God. Or like sometimes it'll just rub off and then you've got like brown little sweat balls happening.
Ew.
It's so bad.
That feels more like with the tanning lotion, I will say, than the spray tan. But I've actually never gotten a spray tan. Again, I do tan naturally, but I'm starting to get like the sun damage of like, I have like the white spots of where like
my salami fat deposits.
Yes. Yeah. I have those where I'm like, oh, I guess I have a new mark on my leg there.
Do you know that most people have a freckle? I think it's right here on their forearm.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know. Everyone's like, I saw this one time and I was like, oh my God, I have it. And then I was noticing most people have a freckle.
I have a small one
on these areas.
Wow. Yeah. Oh, I see one of my little salami spots is coming out. Anyway, tying it back to the 80s, they had no sun care in the 80s.
Oh,
you were just like base tanning.
You
were just burning. And
I would
like,
put baby oil on.
Yeah, baby oil.
I remember lying out in the balcony of my parents' house with baby oil on and it would be like summer
in Texas sun. My gosh, wild.
You're going to cook your inside. I would get so, it would be so gross though.
Oh my gosh. But that was, I guess, you know, that was the way.
The look, yeah. And then that's the thing too. Like, I've heard that too. Like, people start getting, they call it tanorexic. And then I've also heard blonderexic, where you can't stop going blonder and blonder.
Oh my gosh. I feel like that would happen to me. I'd be like, I must reach platinum.
Well, I think what ends up happening is your eye kind of gets used to it. And you're like, I think it's fading and I need to go more next time. And then eventually you're just not in a reality.
Like the plastic surgery addiction where you're like, my cheekbones must be bigger.
Well, I think that's what happens in the filler department, is they're not realizing until you have 20 million people on TikTok doing like docs about your face. I watched all leading up to the Oscars how Emily Blunt went too far with their filler. And I'm like,
wow,
can you imagine going on TikTok and then find people doing like true crime doc series on your face?
Yeah. On your buckle fat removal.
Like, here's where she went wrong. You're like, guys, let me be alone.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
I know. I love like the amount of tabloid stuff that is ubiquitous now because of TikTok is just insane, because now it's not like, oh, something I'm interested in. Now it's like, I can become famous.
Yeah. By just reading blind items.
Yeah. It's insane.
And then when I hear some of these blind items, I'm like, is this even good to know?
Yeah. Yeah. Like I'm just stuffing my head now. So, that,
yeah. Doesn't wipe their ass. And or like the one where like Kim Kardashian's butt smells like pennies.
Yeah.
You're like, okay. You're like,
yeah. I don't need to know that. That's pushed out a fact that I had in my mind about feminism in the 70s. I want to say one movie that was my favorite from the 80s, which was very formative from my childhood, was Ninja Turtles. Did you ever see the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie?
No. That's my brother who is 1984.
Okay.
And so I think I was a little too old for it. I was more for Jem, Truly Outrageous.
Oh, okay.
Punky Brewster.
Yes, Punky Brewster was such an, yes. She was such an icon.
Those were my programs to watch.
I loved Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. I have to say it is a kids movie. Okay. It came out in 88.
Okay.
So it's towards the tail end. It's very much in the full spirit of the 80s because early 80s, you feel like it's still the 70s really.
Well, yeah. And TV shows in the 80s got weird. Like Alf.
Strange.
My cousin is an alien. A small wonder. We have a robot daughter.
Yeah.
Out of this world. Where they? Yeah.
There was a lot of like departure from reality. Like there's also that big fantasy movie genre of like I'm thinking of that movie where it's Tom Cruise is like a young guy and Tim Robbins is like this devil character. It's like called like Far and Away or like Lost, the Magical Forest or something. It was like
Willow.
Oh, that's another one.
Yeah.
That's another that I love that genre in the 80s of just like far out fantasy, like Conan the Barbarian.
Dark Crystal.
Oh, my God.
I love Conan the Barbarian.
Oh, my God. You watch it. You're like, oh, what's he doing? I don't even care.
I'm horny and I can't even describe.
I'm seven. Yeah. But Ninja Turtles, though, I remember watching it and being obsessed with it when I was like three or four. So I was watching it, you know, in the very late 80s.
Okay.
But it's so funny. It's rated, I think, PG or PG-13. I rewatched it because, of course, April O'Neil is like the character. You know, she's like this quintessential iconic late 80s woman where she's a reporter. She's a professional. She has a job. Yes. She's almost like Sigourney Weaver in the Ghostbusters movie. You know, she's
or
like
aliens.
That same. Yeah. Same archetype. And like the abuse that she gets slapped in the face, like the guy that is the lead character, like won't leave her alone until she falls in love with him.
Yeah.
It is so misogynistic. When you look back at it, you're like, oh my God, I cannot believe that this was a kid's movie. It's crazy.
Where you're like, this is quite adult for some of this stuff that's happening.
I'm 3 years old. Yeah. Like, I love the turtles.
Well, we just watched Gremlins and we were reading up on like the Wikipedia page of the controversy of it. Mm-hmm. And it's true where you're like, they put that as a PG movie.
Yeah. What year did that come out?
I think I'm going to say 1984 because I remember my mom was about to deliver my brother.
Yeah,
and
like
so we went as a side to get sidetracked.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah. To go watch a movie with my dad or something. But it was scarier. I remember watching it now and you're like, this is actually quite violent.
Yeah. And isn't
and the storyline is sad.
The girl's dad was climbing in the chimney as Santa Claus and he died and he was just in there dead. Like that is a horror movie.
Yeah. That was a sad.
That's not for kids.
Let's revisit this one. Yeah. And then they're just like brutally chopping each other up. And it's a scary monster. And then I watched this other movie. It was a Sylvester Stallone movie from the 80s called Cobra.
Okay.
I was watching it and I was like, you know, I know movies are violent now.
Yeah.
This is actually the most violent movie I've ever seen. And I remember my dad just taking me to the movie theater and just watching it, not thinking.
Yeah. There was no kids like ratings in the 80s. And even if there were, like, didn't matter. It was like the seatbelts of the 80s. It's like, you choose.
Yeah.
It's your choice.
Yeah.
Buckle up. It's the law. But I mean, it's new. So
that's been the trend for baby TikTok lately is like, don't have any stuffed animals, no blankets or any of that in the bassinet and or the crib. And then the people have photos of them in the 90s where they're sleeping and a festoon of stuffed animals.
Yeah. And like their leg is like out of the crib.
And their head is not even like supported in the car seat while there's like other stuffed animals jammed in with them.
Yeah. Growing up in the 80s was a dangerous time.
Yeah, there's no regulation.
Yeah, it was like your toys just all had lead paint.
Yeah, you had no idea.
Insane movies.
Oh, yeah, and Yeah, like light porn. We watched a lot of revenge movies growing up.
Okay.
Like Charles Bronson taking back the night because his wife was like brutally raped and murdered. Yeah. And then he's like taking back the night, but we would just watch this.
Yeah. Yeah. Even like The Goonies. Like The Goonies is like a classic. That was an 80s movie, right? Like,
yes.
Such a classic 80s movie where you're like, oh, this is a feel good movie. And then you're like, it's just people chasing kids to like hurt them.
Yeah.
And like there's a mouth. Formed man who's being kept in a cage, like we all just accepted it, like yeah, that was Chunky Boy or whatever. Yeah, they named him at Chunk. The end.
Yeah. Like, and then just to, they were like hanging out with like skeleton carcasses.
Yeah,
with Monk's treasure.
Yeah, yeah. And then like always also the trope of like the fat kid of the 80s. Yes. Too was like we're just mean and hateful to him because he's bigger. He won't stop eating. It's yeah, like what was happening.
Yeah, brutally
like,
mean
Lord of the Flies, like
insane. Well yeah. That was another one people brought up. When you watch Home Alone, you're like, these pranks that Kevin McAllister is pulling are like vicious.
Yes, like this is a classism. There's yeah. a classism coming into play here. Where I saw something, and I feel like that's technically 80s because I know that movie was like 1990 exactly.
Yes. Yeah, like it was in my middle school years.
Somebody did a thing of Kevin McAllister's the neighborhood that they lived in, the size of the home, and it was like, oh, you would have had to come from generational wealth to even be able to afford to live here.
Insane.
Meanwhile,
amount.
The wet bandits are just trying to feed their family. Yeah.
They're just poor working class people.
Yeah.
Well, there's a theory online about Kevin McAllister's dad, they believe is a arms dealer.
Oh, interesting. Yes, that makes
they were
sense.
Like, he went, if you think he's going here and he went there, and there's like other background information that also arms dealers deal go to as well. And
that's,
I was like,
hilarious.
That's a fun
I love
thing
that.
To throw out there.
That movie has had a renaissance.
It's a great movie.
It's a good movie.
It plays with the like that was also another fantasy in the 80s. I thought was the I'm forgotten at a mall and I have to stay here
I
overnight.
I can live an adult life.
Yes.
Yeah.
A lot of no parents around.
Oh, Legend. That I just remembered.
Legend,
that was
yes.
the movie that I was thinking of with it's Tom Cruise is like an elfin man.
Okay.
And then Tim Robbins, I forget. He's like a British.
From Bill Durham?
No, that it's Tim. He's like a British guy. He's in a ton of movies. He was in Clue.
Tim Curry.
Oh my God. Thank you. Yes. Yeah. Tim Robbins. That's a completely different movie.
I was like, I can't picture him being in fantasy movie.
Yeah.
He's always like, huh?
Tim Curry is like a devil kind of guy. And they're just
yes.
like in a magical forest. It's very like The Labyrinth too, where it's like that 80s, like rock opera meets fantasy. Like,
yeah. That the Alice Labyrinth, in Wonderland kind of like, I need
yes.
to get back to where I, or the
I'm on a hero's
Wizard
journey.
Of Oz situation.
Yes.
Yeah.
Labyrinth is another one that you rewatch and you're like, oh, I think he's molesting her.
This is a giant cod piece.
Yeah, yes. It was not David Bowie's finest moment. He's a hero, sure.
Yes.
Sure.
He's there for her, but there's sexual undertones
yeah.
happening to
Inappropriate.
Jessica Connelly.
Inappropriate.
Jennifer Connelly. Becoming a mom.
I know. And then you're like,
Jessica
well,
Connelly.
Jessica. Well, I said Tim Robbins. I'm like, I know. And then Jennifer Connelly, the only other movie that I've ever seen her in, it was Requiem for a Dream. You're like, well, that is a reasonable path for her to go from being, she's being molested by David Bowie. Now she's addicted to heroin.
That's what would happen. Well, I thought about that movie recently. I was like, do you think she'd do that movie now?
Oh, I wonder. That movie was so upsetting.
It's so upsetting. And then it's like, does that need to be portrayed? Do you know what I mean?
Do like, we need to have the ass to ass scene?
Or just allude to it?
Yeah, just how about
allude
like,
to
oh,
it? My ass hurts. She comes out of the room.
Yeah, Aronofsky, there's a lot of gratuitous in all of his movies.
There's
I think.
A lot of male filmmakers that are like, we actually need to show in real time her getting sexually assaulted. Where like movies in the 30s up until like the 50s, I think if anything like that happened, the camera would slowly drift up to the moon.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
you'd be like, got it. She's getting sexually assaulted. But sometimes I'm like, this is actually horrific for the actress to endure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's I know it's what was I just going to say about the girl with a dragon tattoo?
Right.
You're like, and let's fade out. But anyway, let's go ahead and wrap up on this one. Right. First of all, I want to say thank you so much to everybody who listened to Lady Journey. Please and subscribe and stay tuned for more amazing episodes. We're going above deep. And beyond. We're not doing spring cleaning this year, okay? Right. We've done it.
Yeah.
We're going
2 years in a row, right?
Further. Yeah, we did. I will be cleaning, but I won't be talking about it.
Yeah.
But we will be doing an episode that you can listen to while you do that, because we know you are.
And we hope. And I will be doing too.
Yes. We all will.
All right.
Lady Journey.
Lady Journey.